Retirement is a critical event in anyone's life, and it's vital that when you retire one day, that you have accumulated sufficient assets to live comfortably. Unfortunately, very few South Africans are able to do so due to a variety of reasons. Joining me on the line is Jaco van Tonder. He is the Director Advisory Services at Investec Asset Management. And today we're going to discuss the general problems facing retirees. Jaco, welcome to the show. Why are so few individuals and households able to retire with a lifestyle they are accustomed to?
Hello, Rick, and hello to the listeners as well. That is quite a loaded question that you ask, and I think there are many, many different drivers, but I think one can break it down into two main drivers. I think the first one is the fact that we live in a world today where we are not being told and we are not being forced to save for retirement. Most people, even if you work at a company and you belong to a company's pension fund, you still have options around how much you want to contribute. And from first-hand experience that we've seen in many companies across the industry, general employees tend to select very low pension contribution levels if they work for a large corporate. It's actually not strange to see a vast majority of people in a firm contributing 5 or 6 or 7% of their salary only towards saving for retirement. And the reason they do that is because I think as an industry, we have not yet drove into people's minds the importance of having a much larger contribution rate from very early on in your careers. If we think back to our parents lived in what we call the defined benefit era in retirement. When you worked at a firm, you belonged to their pension fund, you were forced to belong to the fund, and the fund had a fixed contribution rate, and that's what was deducted from your salary. There were no such thing as options. You couldn't decide what you wanted to invest in. Everything was prescribed. Now, as funny as it might sound, in that prescribed environment, one of the benefits was that people at least saved for retirement. In today's environment, where we've taken a lot of those prescriptions away, we are leaving people open to choose. And unfortunately, the facts are telling us that people are not choosing wisely. So they're not investing enough, and they don't realize that they're not investing enough because there's very few ways today that people can easily assess whether they are saving enough. It's actually a very difficult question. So my response to people generally would be, if you're not saving at least 15% of your salary every month, you're not saving enough, full stop.
That sounds very daunting that some people may not know that they are not saving enough. But how do you know that you have saved enough at retirement to sustain your lifestyle?
Rick, my response to people who ask that question is typically consists of three bullets. Number one, always try and make sure that you're saving 15% or more of your salary, even if you start out working very, very young. That's the first step. The second step is don't take any of that money away. Don't cash in your retirement fund if you change jobs. Try and preserve it as far as possible. And the third one is, as you reach the slightly more advanced age, so you get into your 40s or your 50s, the question is, how much capital do you need for the income level that you're looking for? And that slightly older group of people, where the amount of capital is really the question, as opposed to how much I'm contributing, the calculation I normally give people is to say, work out how much money you need before tax to live off if you were to retire today, and divide that number by 5% or multiply it by 20 is really the simple rule. So take that income, multiply by 20. That is the capital amount that you would need if you were retiring today to give you that level of income plus inflationary increases for around a 25 to 30-year period. That's how much you need.
But you cannot only do this at retirement. For most people, it would be too late, and you need to do this a lot earlier. Is there a rule of thumb to measure your readiness to retire prior to retirement?
Rick, once people have not saved from early on in life, everyone's calculation becomes different. And then you probably need some type of online tool to start giving you an idea of how much you need to save to reach certain capital levels. My rule of thumb to people is you need to get to that level of around 20 times whatever it is you want to draw. And early on in life, you want to be saving 15 to 20% of your capital. If you, for a long time, haven't saved anything, and then you want to start saving again, or you've used your retirement capital to start a business, and maybe that business didn't work out, and you're joining the employment workforce again, those situations, I would suggest a good conversation with a financial advisor can help you clear up. There's no simple rule of thumb in those complicated situations. But the reality is, for most people, we need to save more than we are currently saving. And that's the mindset almost with which you want to approach this problem. If you then want more details, some retirement funds have got some tools that can help you calculate your deficit, or otherwise a conversation with a decent financial advisor will very quickly highlight to you what your deficit is.
What are the most common mistakes people make regarding their retirement? Is it just not saving enough, or are there other mistakes that will have an impact on the quality of life after retirement?
So there are actually a number of issues, and I think we focus on the not saving enough part because in our view, that's probably the biggest problem. And if you don't solve that problem, then solving the other issues doesn't really move the needle. So let's assume for the moment that someone is in fact saving enough on a monthly basis and has been doing so for quite a long time. There are other risks they've got to watch out for as well. We've mentioned one of the risks, which is to cash in your retirement fund when you change employers. It's a very uniquely South African phenomenon that we are allowed to cash in our retirement funds when we move from one employer to another. Most other countries in the world, you can't do that. So please don't cash in your retirement fund when you change employer would be the second one. The third one, when you're selecting your investment portfolio, because in today's modern pension fund schemes, we all have the option to pick what we want our funds to be invested in. Please make sure that you don't pick conservative funds, especially when you are still young. I would say you must pick the highest equity exposure portfolios that you can find if you are in your 20s and 30s and even 40s to allow the real growth to come through on your portfolio. So investing in conservative funds is a mistake that people often make because they believe that, you know, they're afraid of market fluctuations. So that would be number three. And then number four, I think you need to think very carefully as you approach retirement what to do with your portfolio allocation, depending on what income product you want to purchase. And I guess a lot of the work that we've done at Investec in the last year had focused on this interaction between your investment portfolio before you retire and in what type of income product you are retiring. For example, are you buying a guarantee annuity from a life insurance company? Or are you going to be just investing your retirement assets in a living annuity and managing your own portfolio and drawing your income without an advisor's help? That actually makes quite a big difference to how you construct your portfolio, say, in that last 5 or 6 years before retirement. And sometimes people make mistakes there as well. They go for a fixed income money market portfolio in the last 3 or 4 years before retirement, but then they want to purchase a living annuity after they retire. So there's a bit of an asset allocation matching that needs to happen, and people often make small mistakes in those as well. So those I would highlight as probably being the four most common errors that people make.
Jaco, in most cases, a financial advisor would choose those funds on behalf of their clients. The clients do not actively play a role. So if the choices are too conservative, the blame should be on the advisor.
Rick, I think pre-retirement, if someone is still moving towards the date where they want to retire, so they're still investing in their pension fund or their retirement annuity or any one of those accumulation products, the investment portfolio structuring is actually fairly simple. And I would say the rule of thumb is you want to go for the maximum equity exposure in a retirement fund, which under Regulation 28 is roughly 75% in growth assets. And that's as simple as the solution should be. So there's no rocket science involved before you retire. And I think that's why many people on their own pension funds just pick the options the trustees have selected. And those options tend to be 75% equity options. So as long as they do that and they don't pick the cash fund, everything should be fine. It gets a lot more tricky once you get to the retirement date because the cash flows and the complexities of the problem becomes a lot bigger once someone wants to live off a pot of capital and draw an income on a monthly or annual basis. And I think in our experience, depending on what retirement income product you pick, an advisor can be a critical component of the solution. If a client decides to put all of their retirement assets into a guarantee annuity and get a fixed payment from a life insurance company for the rest of their life, the classical guarantee annuities and say a 6 or 7 or 8% annual increase with a spouse benefit, there's very little complexity in that, and there's no ongoing management or the need for an advisor to help manage that solution. However, if the client selects a living annuity, invests in a portfolio of assets, starts